Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arsketting coming to you live from North Carolina. And today we want to continue our study of understanding and looking at the question of how do we create a place for the Lord to habitate rather than just to continue to visit us as we've seen in the past, and rather than just have a short-term revival, but have a living experience of walking out our relationship with the Lord. And so today we want to look in the Old Testament in Exodus 25 in the description and really the Lord speaking to Moses, telling him how to begin the stages of building a place for the Lord to dwell. And the first we want to highlight, verse we want to highlight today and focus on is in verse 8 of chapter 25 of Exodus. It says, "Let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them." And when we look at the breakdown of what this verse means in the actual interpretation, we again see this word sanctuary meaning a place set apart, i.e. the Shekinah, the Shekan, the place for the Lord to dwell. And ultimately, that's what the Lord is asking. Prepare a place for me so that my Shekinah can come live in among my people, is what Robert Heidler talks about. And ultimately, that God wants his presence to dwell with us. Like, God wants to come and be with us. This is not just New Testament. This is Old Testament as well. This is something the Lord has always wanted. And we see here in this is the Old Testament experience of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, of even as they're going through the wilderness, the Lord wanted to dwell with them. And Robert Heiler goes on to say, he says, God wants his presence to dwell with us, and our responsibility is to prepare a place. He wants to make a special place in our hearts, number one, where his presence can dwell. He wants our homes to be a place where his glory dwells, and he wants the church to be a sanctuary filled with his Shekinah. And when someone comes into your home and into our church, they should be able to say, I sense that God is here. And so we look here through Scripture, the foundation of Scripture, of understanding some basic premises that we have. And for those who saw, thank you for the congratulations. Yes, we are expecting our second child, but I think a good resource to have is this book by Chuck Pierce. I've been going through it, of dealing with the issues and things within your home and in your heart personally as well. It's called Protecting Your Home from Spiritual Darkness, from Chuck Pierce and Rebecca Wagner, Sistema. And it deals with, it's a more practical guide of dealing with spiritual darkness within your life and your family. And with us, we recommend this one as well. Repentance from Natasha Gerbich, Cleansing Your Generational Bloodline and Restoring the First Estate of What the Lord Wanted You to. These two go hand in hand. And this, the one from Natasha is a little deeper, and they're speaking about it from South Africa's standpoint of view, where they deal with, and we talked about that a little bit yesterday with the witches that we're seeing at the Supreme Court, of firsthand witches that they deal with, and spiritual darkness, witch doctors, etc., in South Africa that you see in other South American countries, Central American countries, as it made its way over there through the slave trade. And I point those two resources out. If you don't have them and you feel like there's something going on in your family, you're not able to get breakthrough, whatever the case may be in your house, those are two resources. Again, the repentance book, Cleansing Your Bloodline from Natasha, is a little bit, it's wordy, it's heavy, but it's very, very good. And then the Protecting Your Home from Spiritual Darkness from Chuck Pierce is a great resource, practical resource to walk you through the same measures and instills from a more American standpoint of view. Both great, both good things to walk through and very biblically based of establishing spiritual foundations within your home, as we see here what the Lord wants to do throughout Scripture to create. And the goal is to create this habitation, this dwelling place for the Lord to reside, not only within our hearts, but within our homes as well. And today, we in the news, we want to look at some stories, old ones that we've been following, and some new ones that I think are very interesting and things to pay attention to in the days ahead, in accordance with our prophetic guideline of praying for the office of the president. So first, continue on the story. We posted about this yet last night, but we wanted to go over this in the issue that it is now becoming very clear to the UN and the International Atomic Energy Agency, who's done a report showing that Iran now has the capability to integrate the material needed to build atomic bombs. And they've been doing this. This is now being another report confirming it was, you know, hinted at before that this was happening underground. This is confirmed that this is being able to be happen very specifically in Iran. This is alarming now and for the days ahead of what it could mean for not only the United States, but for Israel. But we also want to point out, and this is the key thing, is that the administration is leaving the idea and the possibility of getting back into the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA. It's on the table for the United States, Iran, and Russia to get back into an agreement there. Bob Menendez has come out and spoken and said, he says, I am not optimistic there will be such a deal. The administration believes that strategically it makes sense to keep the offer on the table, but I don't see the pathway forward. That's my own view. And that's Bob Menendez is Foreign Relations Committee Chairman, from Democrat from New Jersey. If he's speaking out saying it, he has a good grasp on international politics, and especially when it comes to issues with Israel and Iran. He's really someone you do want to pay attention to on that. He does stand and vote for Israel. And so the reason I point that out is if he's saying, yeah, this is not a reality, we need to pull this and stop playing, you know, footsie basically with Iran, and let's be real about the situation here. And that's the issue, is the Biden administration is kind of tiptoeing around the issue. Yeah, diplomatically, politically, it may possibly be a good idea. But when you have a bad faith actor such as Iran, who, when you come into a good deal, hoping that there's good faith, they're going behind your back and doing the very thing that they said they weren't going to do. Because let's not forget that as part of the Iran nuclear deal, they said they would only enrich uranium up to 3.67%. That was the cap of the 2015 deal. They are now at 60% and inching closer towards 90%, and possibly could be there. You never know. Could be working with North Korea, Russia, China, like who knows? What's the possibility of this? What does this mean for security and safety of people, not only in Iran, in Israel, in the United States, but around the world? Now you're looking at Colombia, et cetera, stuff, countries like this who are opening to these ideas. So it's something we want to pray for this administration, that they have wisdom and the fear of the Lord on this issue when dealing and making decisions on Israel and Iran. And look, there are those within this administration, higher ups, lower tier individuals who can have influence that we may never know about. And those are the people we want to pray for. Yes, we understand the top people have an agenda of not wanting to stand for Israel. But there are those within there who do and will stand for, who are Democrats, who are Republicans, who are moderates, however you want to put it, that will stand for Israel. And those are the people we want to pray for to have a voice in this season and just help them navigate these negotiations, the situations that they're in, and making sure that the United States stands for Israel and the foundations that the Lord has set in place for this country to be a gospel, to be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. Okay, next, something that is we've been talking about for a while. We want to continue to stand on the wall on this one and praying for something to be done. And this also deals with the court case that is sitting before the Supreme Court in the border issue, where there's a case, a ruling. Hopefully they'll come out with it. They have to come out with it in the next couple days, weeks, really. They're expected to take a recess after July 4th and really much be done with all their releasing their cases by July. So you have a couple, 2 weeks, really. And they're expected to release a couple today, some more tomorrow, and then Monday and Wednesday of next week. So we'll most likely see possibly next Monday, Wednesday for... In reality, if they're going to wait till the last minute, it'll be next Wednesday before July hits on the Dobbs case. But they're still awaiting a decision on Biden v. Texas, where the Biden administration has been shown by lower courts to basically maintain Remain in Mexico policy. They've been ordered to by a judge. They've appealed it. It's gone to the Supreme Court. Now they're awaiting a decision from the Supreme Court. But I say all that to say is that there are now reports showing that there are recently 15 people who were caught crossing the border who were on the terrorist watch list. That brings the total number for Biden's presidency. I want to make sure I get this right. From October 2021 through September, people that they've caught crossing the border who are on the terrorist watch list to 50. 50 people that from the last year who have been on the terrorist watch list. And reports from just the news are saying that now lawmakers are sounding the alarm that 15 more immigrants have come across the border. If we're waiting for more people to cross the border who are on the terrorist watch list, we have let the ship pass us by in the night. And this is where we want to, dear Lord, pray for this administration, for current and future leaders who can speak up for the sovereignty of this nation, for the security of this nation, and understand that there are bad actors coming through. These are the people that we've caught. What about the people that we haven't caught? What about the people who have come in that recently who've tried to commit terrorist acts against former President Bush who got caught in the aftermath? Then you're talking about letting the FBI deal with things on the back end and hoping that they actually follow through and doing their job. So we want to pray. And this is a key issue, because now with the economic situation of reports of expected high unemployment, is the ideology from the left and progressives is that, well, we need these people to come in to help fill in from our labor shortages. And part of it might be true, because Americans don't want to take these lower paying jobs, worker jobs, and so they kind of legitimately intellectually have a point. But the reality is look, those are jobs Americans could be taking. Now illegals come in, businesses will hire them, pay them under the rug for a cheaper amount than what they could pay Americans with the high minimum wage tax and minimum wage that is there. So you have a host of issues of things being at play. I'm not going to go down that road, but there are people coming across the border. Not only that, is we're seeing now, we've been talking about it on our noon prayer about how the Biden administration, and it's known, it's been exposed, that they take people from the border and bust them out to other city states, basically sanctuary cities and states, and really red areas to hopefully water down those places. And they're giving them driver's license, the ability to vote in elections, and telling them how to vote, giving them Medicaid, Medicare funding, stimulus, everything in between to help them make it when they get here. Is now there's a breaking report from it's really from the Post, New York Post, that DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is putting together a plan to send more migrants to towns hours away from the border and around the country. So they're basically doing what they're doing, and they're about to expand it. And again, we talked about it yesterday, how it's a last minute notice. It's you get a tech, the politicians get a notification within minutes that, hey, there's people coming to your border or to your city, deal with it, basically, is how they handle it. So, and the reason we want to point this out and pray for this is that the American people need to wake up. They need to understand that what this means for this country, what this means for our economy, and hoping that during these midterms, these primaries, even today, that are going to continue to happen, that they can elect leaders who are going to stand up for the security of this nation. Now, with that being said, we can do our civic duty and do that, but if we're in these cities where this is occurring, let's pray that these people get healed, get delivered, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then have the heart to go back to their nations and spread the gospel to the kingdom. Because maybe God can, whatever is meant for evil, God can turn for good, as we've said before, and then Scripture tells us. But it shows, and if we can have that mindset of understanding, okay, if we can't go to other nations right now because of COVID and the vaccine policies and this, that, and whatever, the economy makes it too hard. There are a host of other issues of why it's hard to travel and missions work is really not going on right now. Is these people are coming and flocking to America. Okay, they want to do better for their country, but let's pray that they get saved. They get filled with the Holy Spirit, get ingenious ideas while they're here. Look at this country, study this country as the example of look at the road we're going down and where not to go, and to go back to the heart of the Father and take that heart of the Father back to their land, to their nation, and help deal with whatever issues are going on in their land. That's where we want to be, and praying for leaders as well for our nation as well. Okay, moving on. So the committee that is trying to pass the whole gun reform is coming up on a deadline. And the deadline is really this week, because the idea is to pass it before next week, before they go on a 2-week vacation for July 4th. It's a nice vacation for July 4th, seeing as they're paid politicians. And I get when they go home, they do things as well. I'm being very facetious. But they know that when they come back, the midterms will be the high priority. So they're trying to get it done. And two things that are breaking up this deal are the idea around the incentivizing red flag laws and the boyfriend loophole. And there was rumors that they would have a text on the bill last night. Some said today. That looks like it is being pushed back and pushed back further and further as discussions continue to be had on what actually should be in the bill, as Republicans and some states who will not pass red flag laws and do not have red flag laws about how if you're going to try to incentivize them, but they're not going to pass it, how are they going to get the funding that you're trying to help them deal with? So John Cornyn and Tom Tillis from North Carolina and Texas, respectively, are leading that on the Republican side, and you got Chris Murphy of Connecticut and Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona who are dealing with that at the top end from the Democratic side. And so they're basically at a standstill. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go because they have to get 60 votes. Yeah, they say, you have the 10 who push forward to have this negotiation come to this point, and then you have McConnell who says, well, I'll be the tiebreaker, you have an extra one. But the reality is there's an issue there with it actually coming forward. And it could get neutered, could be a good thing in all of this. But you have all this coming forward based upon what happened in Uvalde. Well, guess what happened? More reports and news have come out. You've probably seen this. And I want to point this out. Is that if you're going to have red flag laws, you're going to say we need to protect the American citizen. We need to make sure that bad people aren't able to get guns, that people adhere to laws and all this stuff. Well, if we're going to do that, then we would hope, let's say intellectually we go down that road. Okay, cool. You go down that road. Let's say now you're in the hands of only police have guns, etc. Their job should be to protect the citizens, innocent people. And here's that video evidence, picture evidence of police officers with a shield, guns, right outside the door where the loss of innocent lives took place. And they stood outside, standing down because the police chief there told them to, which breaks and exposes a lie involved in that situation. Then there is video camera, body cam evidence and recording that shows there was a police officer who was attempting to go in, saying that if there's kids in there, we need to go in there. So not all these police officers were, you know, cowards. But at the end of the day is, okay, if we're going to go down this road, you're going to have this gun reform. Even if you don't have gun reform, you still want hope that the officers who are there, who are in these positions to protect innocent life, the loss of innocent life, be that barrier for these children, would stand up and do that. So we have to expose this out, and just look, pray for this situation. Pray that the Republicans and people see this situation, can kind of have the emotions get back under control, be sober, be aware of what's occurring, making sure that, you know, freedom isn't lost, and standing for the foundations of what this nation was built upon. Okay. Last couple things before I close here is you're starting to see this happening in more countries, as more states, excuse me. Louisiana, now the newest one, is that certain activist judge and attorney generals and certain actors within the state and organizations are trying to get involved with how the congressional maps are being made. And the idea that's happening is that they're saying that, well, the state legislatures don't have the authority to make those decisions. And Brett Kavanaugh kind of whiffed on this when he was possibly given the opportunity to deal with this in North Carolina and Pennsylvania. But there is a bigger movement growing from more states to basically have the Supreme Court, and it'll most likely end up here. And it doesn't matter which case goes forward. They're all pretty much the same case from North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New York, Louisiana, and a host of other states, where the Supreme Court is going to have to decide on who has that ultimate authority. Is it an activist? Is it a judge? Just not even an activist. Does the judge have the final say in what law, how the congressional maps are being presented and put forward and finalized? Or does the state legislature, which via the Constitution, it falls within the state legislature because they are elected officials. They're the ones chosen to make that decision based upon the framework of how this nation is formed. Now, why I bring that up is that there is a likelihood that SCOTUS will hear this case. I'm not sure if it'll be in this term, the next week or two, or after they come back from their recess in October. Maybe they come back for a special session to hear a case. It's not clear about that, but there is confirmation that you have to have at least four justices willing to hear the case or to accept the case. And now Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh, who initially declined it, said they were willing to hear the case involved because there's more and more states growing. And that's the key issue, is that because this is becoming a problem across this state, this is why local elections matter just as much as federal elections, and why you want to make the wise decision there as well as we come towards the midterms. In North Carolina, Senate Leader Phil Berger is kind of pushing this issue, hoping that the Supreme Court will actually make a decision. There's another case involving North Carolina, involving NAACP, on something very similar, a little different, of making sure that the AG upholds ID laws, even though he's not. That's the law on the land in North Carolina. So there's a lot of things popping off. And this is something I've, since moving to North Carolina, has been very interesting to see here, of just the tyrannical overreach from the government here. And something we want to pray for, that not only in this case, but in other court cases, in dealing rights, constitutional rights, of freedom of religion, and the Dobbs case with Mississippi, which will most likely, looks like, come out next Wednesday, maybe sooner, who knows. But we do want to intercede for these cases, for the family, for protection from intimidation, for them to have peace within this storm, and specifically Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, who are the key, we know from prophetically that are the key decision makers on this case, and hoping that they can stand up for biblical moral values on not only this issue, but other issues as well as voter integrity and who gets to decide congressional maps, whether it be some just independent activist judge, independent politician, or the people who were duly elected to make this decision in the state legislatures. Okay, so today we want to pray for the midterms happening in, I want to make sure I get this right. Last week I got it wrong. Today it's Virginia, runoff in Georgia, runoff in Alabama, and the decision in D.C. to elect Mayor Bowser for a third term, which would be very interesting to see if they did, but we'll see in the Democratic primary there. So these are elections that are coming up. Pray that people have, and in Alabama and in Georgia, there's some contentious races about who to vote for, who not to vote for. There's a split between basically Trump and the non-Trump Republicans. So let's just pray that the Lord give wisdom to the primary voters in these states to make the best decision that the Lord would want for their states, and not to get caught up in idolization of a candidate and those who support them, and really listening to the Lord, because only the Lord truly knows the hearts of these politicians, what they're going to do when they get in office, and who will have the best chance. So we want to pray for those voters today as they take those steps to vote. And then on some good news is, this is something to pay attention to in New York, is we haven't really been following it because it's kind of early. In New York, the run for governor is, you obviously have the interim governor there now, Hochul, who's going to run again, who's going to go most likely up against who's now a congressman or senator, I can't remember exactly, Republican Lee Zeldin, who will most likely get the Republican nomination in New York, which would be huge because they haven't had a Republican governor since 2002. And most likely looks that he could possibly win with everything that's going on within New York, with the disastrous policies that they're seeing from the current governor, former governor de Blasio, and former mayors, of de Blasio of New York City. So there's some good things happening, some shakeups happening as people move around the country. And again, this is one of those cases where the activist judges have gotten involved in trying to determine the congressional maps in New York. And these will have long-term effects. And hopefully the people in New York can awaken to realizing that the past decisions that they've made based upon purely emotions and easy government handouts is detrimental to the overall standing of their cities and their states and their districts. So there's positive things there. He is a strong believer. He is a strong Judeo-Christian value politician. And so that's why we want to, if you know anybody in New York, pray for them, pray for New Yorkers, pray for the state of New York, hopefully that they can elect a somebody who will make fundamental foundational decisions that will enhance the freedom of New York and hopefully get New York to being able to be a light for this nation, as well as you have a lot of international trade and business and commerce being done there. It would be a great representation for the country to get back to having New York be a place that stands up for freedom and biblical moral values. So I'll close on that. Blessings each and every one of you for following along. Don't forget, we have our noon prayer today at Christian Center Shreveport and online. And we have coming up if anybody is in Shreveport, Bossier, haven't signed their kids up for kids camp this summer. It starts next week. Last couple of days to sign up. And then also, if you know anyone who would be interested in going to our School of Ministry, applications are still open. We'll be announcing their registration deadline here later today. We got to finalize a date here. And it's an opportunity to not only gain the book knowledge But the actual experience knowledge, if you heard our lesson from Sunday, our sermon from Sunday, is, you know, we want to experience the Father's love. And not only with that, but as we train people and get ready for the next generation of church leaders, is we want to contribute in that and passing the torch along and saying, okay, here's how the Lord's shown us to do it. We want to pass it along to you and then give you experience to do that. So if you know anybody who is interested in joining and coming along for our Olive School of Ministry, pass a word along. Send them the link. I'll put it here in the comment sections below so that they can take a look. There's some videos there for them to watch and then read through. And if they have any questions, to email us at olive@christianministryreport.com. So blessings, and we'll see you guys later. Have a good one.